Thank you, Dedrick, and thank you all for coming. I'll be talking about soil water retention in a bare soil, and specifically looking a little bit at changing bulk densities. And in a minute, I'll explain a little bit more what I mean by changing bulk densities. But first, I kind of wanted to start us off with reminding us what we're talking about when we are talking about water retention. So we want to know the matrix potential versus the volumetric water content. So at different pressures, how much water does the soil retain? And this is hugely important for water movement in the soil, infiltration, drainage. It impacts the available water for plants. So there's lots of important implications. The soil water retention curves are strongly dependent on soil texture and structure. I stole two graphs from Danny Hillel's textbook on soil physics, and you see the sandy soil at the bottom left, the soil does not retain a whole lot of water as pressure. As suction increases, and then a finer soil retains a lot more water. But then if you have a finer soil that's aggregated on the wetter end, it will act more like a sandy soil. And then if that soil is compacted, it will start look more like the finer textured soil. So this is pretty relevant for what we'll be talking about now. We had a bare soil field site that we tilled. It's a medium textured soil glacial till. We tilled it, and so in the beginning you have pretty loose soil, but then as the season progresses and you have rain and a little bit of gravity, the bulk density increases, and we know that, but when we model these hydraulic properties of the soil, we don't usually consider that. So this study really is about figuring out how important or how much does the bulk density change, and how does that affect water retention. So here I have two figures for 2015 and 2016 with both bulk density at the three surface layers, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, and 10 to 15, and also cumulative rainfall on the right axis. The cumulative rainfall is the black line at the bottom. So in 2015, it was about 50 millimeters for the season, and then in 2016, it was over 300 millimeters, so a little bit different condition there. And then the bulk density, so initially, right after tillage, the bulk density for the whole 0 to 15 centimeter layer is around 1. But then as we go through the season, towards the end of the season, in 2015, the red line, which is the 0 to 5, is about 1.1, but the orange line, which is 10 to 15, is 1.3. So there is about a 0.3 increase in that layer in the 10 to 15 centimeter layer, and we see similar increases in 2016. It goes up to 1.4. It's not that surprising that it's a little bit higher, considering that we had a lot more rainfall. So from each of these layers, we collected soil cores using 5 centimeter rings, and these were collected following rain events, and then saturated in a vacuum chamber. And we used this pressure cell setup that you see in the picture on the right to look at the water retained in the soil at different pressures. And these are some of the results just for the 2016 season. Firstly, the darker blue lines are early in the season, and then the lighter blue lines are later in the season. And then I also have an orange line, which is from the same field, but a part that was tilled the previous year, so not the year of the experiment. So that's kind of like, after a longer period of time, what the bulk density would look like. So we see that the 0 to 5 centimeter layer, the water retention curves look pretty similar for the whole period, which is also the layer for which we had the least changes in bulk density. And then for the 10 to 15 centimeter, we see that initially we have the more horizontal curve for the line similar to the aggregated soil that we saw on the first slide. But then as the season progresses, the line becomes more vertical, similar to the more compacted soil that I showed in the first slide. I did want to mention we had these measurements are seem straightforward, but they're not, because you saturate these soils and then the soils stick out above the core, so then they're because of swelling, and then while you're doing the experiment in the pressure chamber, they go down, and then the bulk density changes. But even with these changes, you would expect the bulk density for the low bulk density to increase and the cores to be more alike. Even with that, we still see very clear differences between cores taken at different times during the season. So if we, here is a kind of a summary of the data for 2015 as well as 2016, as well as for the 2016 plot that was tilled the previous year. And we see that these patterns I just showed you are consistent for not just 1 year, but in all these years we see similar patterns, not so many changes in the first layer, but more changes in the 10 to 15 centimeter layer. And what I think is kind of standing out here is that for a 0.2 or 0.3 increase in bulk density, we get about 20% volume of the soil volume decline in saturated water content, and a 20% increase of the amount of water that's retained at 500 hectopascal, which is equivalent to 500 centimeters of water, or half a bar. So this session is about in situ, right? So I'll talk a little bit about that too. We did some in situ measurements of water retention in 2017, so this is pretty recent data. We used TDR sensors and microtensiometers, and we took the midpoint of each layer, 5 centimeter layer. The red line here at the bottom is the 2.5 centimeter depth, and the water content. We have about a 4 week period here. The first part, it's not changing so much. Then on June 28, we had a rain event, and then we had a period of drying after that. So as kind of expected, the 2.5 centimeter depth that's closest to the surface dries out the most. See the same in the water potential measurements. The red line kind of stops on July 5th. The tensiometers have a certain range to which they can measure. If we go below a certain metric potential, they kind of give up on us. So we're a little bit limited there. But the 7.5 and 12.5 centimeters stay pretty wet for a while. So this is the soil water retention for using those measurements. The blue here is for those couple days before the rain event, and I compared them with the curves that we got for cores collected during that same period. And then we did the same for cores collected in those weeks following the rain event, and these are the measurements. And so there's three things I want to point out to you here. Firstly, the water retention in the field, the water contents at different matrix potentials are much lower than those in the lab, which kind of makes sense because in the lab we saturate in a vacuum chamber, and in the field we have all these air pockets in the soil which don't get filled up with water even if you have a strong rain event. And then I also wanted to point out that we have quite a bit of scatter. There's several reasons for that. One is just the measurements and temperature effects on the measurements. Another is we have drying and wetting happening in the field, so you have some hysteresis that is associated with that. So there's a number of reasons that we would have a little bit of scatter there. But then finally, I wanted to point out that the blue, which at 500 centimeter water has a little bit of a higher water content than the orange. We see that both in the course as well as in the field measurements. So I thought that was a little bit encouraging that they at least kind of show the same thing. So in conclusion, basically we do see some serious changes in the water retention of a tilled soil following tillage. It does not stay the same after you till it. It changes a lot throughout the season. The measurements are not so simple. The bulk density changes during the laboratory measurements. They also change in the field. That makes it a little bit hard to give one water retention curve for a soil. It's more of a range of water retention curves. And lastly, as expected, the water retention curves in situ were a little bit different from those determined in the lab. But we do see some similar responses to changes in field conditions. So with that, I would like to thank my crew who helped me out in the field. They did a great job, and I thank you all for listening.
All right, have time for two or three questions.
What about structure formation after the first rainfall? Did you observe cracking or fracturing?
We had actually almost immediately after the first rainfall, we had a crust formation. So yeah, we have that. But I guess that's what happens in the field.
Another question?
Yeah, so you talked about some of the variation in the data, the scatter in the data.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of the magnitude of that scatter due to hysteresis in contrast to changing the bulk density?
So I tried to look at that, and it gets really tricky because there's some wetting and drying that happens over a 24-hour period during the day, but that is also temperature dependent. And as you see, especially in the tensiometer data, there's quite a bit of a diurnal curve, and that's some of that is real and some of that is temperature. And I actually looked at a publication on how to correct for that, but you need to know the airspace in the tensiometer to be able to correct for that, and I have no idea how to retrospectively determine that. So I guess if you have ideas of how to deal with that, I would be happy to hear them.
You play around with that some as well. Just decide to go with our 2 a.m. readings.
Okay. But then you can't really tell
the
right.